The following media was brought to you by Tome of Huzzah!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Globally Local FM, the only podcast which my other host starts with stretching on camera. Come on! Explain,
that's
expound,
right.
Describe.
I stretched on camera. I leaned back in my chair. I whipped my hands up in the air. And I stretched like there's no tomorrow. You got to make sure your body's lean so that you can be a machine in the daily grind.
Okay. Big guns.
Go. That's right.
You'll be happy to know that in my personal life and friends groups, the joke of adding anything with big has become very popular.
In
big oil,
what sense?
Big gym, big oats, big run.
That's good. That's good.
I am now on the streets
classic.
Known as Big Gay. Yeah, that's it. We're hitting them up one by one.
Seems appropriate. Sounds good.
I am right, sick, Rudy. Though, dear listeners.
Big sick?
Sick of your bullshit. No.
That's a good one.
No. If I sound a bit off, that is because I have a little bit of a small man itching my throat sitting inside me and being a little ugly ago.
All that eating sand finally caught up with you, huh?
Don't tell that. I don't think it's societally appropriate for that to be known. So, no, I do not eat sand, I say as I put my bucket of sand away from the camera.
What you do usually is actually you just take a handful of sand and you just suck on it until it, like, dissolves in your mouth.
Suck on it. No, actually, I do take every morning something that looks like sand, and it's psyllium husks fiber, 500 milligrams. And these pills look like they have sand in it. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to do a bit of ASMR, wait. I don't know if that picked it up.
Not really.
But I'll try to show you, Henry, the pill. You see, it's like sand in it.
Yeah, it does look like a capsule of sand, to be honest.
Literally. And now I'm gonna wait, this ASMR experience where I put the pill back in and then I'm gonna close the lid. I'm gonna miss, I'm gonna fail on the first try. Wait, there we go. Nice.
Watch any pill grabbing get filtered out with the noise reduction and noise gate.
And for sure will happen. Sid will probably like bang his head against the wall trying to edit this shit out.
At least you can hear the lid opening and closing. There's something.
By the way, shout out to our editor, who's my favorite edit of yours, Sid, is still the one where I'm like, edit this one thing, and you just say no. That's it. That's like by far the best joke ever made on this podcast. No, there was another good one where you were like, wait, have we had this all along? And I was like, yeah, Sid's edited this. And Sid edited the podcast episode, just like, I echo of like, bruh. And you would not know about that because you don't listen to your episodes, do you?
I listen to some. I've listened to some. How dare you?
How many? Which ones did you listen to?
I'm not going to say because I feel called out.
Of course.
Yeah, that's right.
But you that's okay. That's introducing me. Okay, wait. It's my intro. Don't take this away from me, Henry. How dare you?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Next time
globally
I won't speak
local
for the first 5 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello. This is your editor, Sid, here. I offer my deepest apologies because this segment had to be cut out because of the number of profanities and slurs that your host, Rudy, said, ones that had not been heard since Latvia conquered Trinidad and Tobago. As a result of this, your host, Rudy, has been replaced by a sound-alike called Nudis, but for the sake of continuity, will continue to be referred to as Rudy. I offer my deepest condolences and my apologies and hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you.
Make me sound nicer.
So how have you been, Rudy?
Bleep some of that out.
What?
Hey. Globally Local FM, the podcast where we are a funky little radio show, and every week we do a different city, or rather the overarching wheel lands us in a different city, and today we are in Malaga, Spain, which is at the south of Spain, for people who don't know. Well, south-ish.
I would say that's about as south as it gets in Spain.
Where there's also Gibraltar.
Well, Gibraltar is technically not in Spain, so...
Yeah, but it geographically it is.
Geographically, it's in Iberia.
What?
It's on the Iberian Peninsula. It's in Iberia.
I love you for your geographical knowledge, but I could not care less. Let's move on to the news!
I could use Iberia. How's that for a joke? I like that one, actually. I'll recycle that somewhere sometime. That's good. I really need to write that one down.
How much you can love your own joke to write your own joke down?
I should write that one down and stick it on my door, so every time I leave the house, I see that and I feel better for myself.
You know what? You do that, and I'm going to introduce the first news article. They have arrived! Or I don't think you're ready for this jelly. In brackets. Okay. On September 12th.
Yes.
A couple of sunshine and beach vibe enjoyers got seemingly distressed after encountering what appeared to be some jellyfish. And of course, when it comes to jellyfish, it's never really a good time. But in most cases around the world, their sting is not too bad and their size not one to be called terrifying. What do you think of jellyfish, Henry?
They're fine. Not my best bros, but I could do with that. But if they leave me alone, I'll leave them alone, and that's all right. That's my thoughts.
Okay, that's fair enough. I think that's the general populace opinion on jellyfish. Well, This was not one of those cases. After sending photo and video evidence to marine biologists, it quickly got clarified that the sting from this particular species is indeed mild. But that is the only calming part about this. Rhizostoma luteum, or whatever, species, basically, can exceed, and I've seen the picture on this shit, 50 centimeters diameter, that's half a meter, people, weigh up to 40 kilos, that's basically my weight, and have tentacles 3 meters long. Sounds like a lovely day at the beach with the kids. The picture was that people started seeing this shit getting, like, washed ashore. This huge blob.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, apparently, according to the marine biologists, these species is fine. It's not dangerous. But I still don't want to see that.
Yeah, it's not really a pretty sight when a jellyfish is washed up. Although, I guess it wouldn't be when a normal fish is washed up either.
What's the prettiest sight to be washed up?
Probably a crab. Because you're like, let's say a dead crab, because you wouldn't even be able to tell.
Oh, I said like, I was going to say like, a half-naked Italian man. I'll clarify.
So what happened to him?
He just washed ashore and is waiting for me. He's like a merman.
Right. yeah, I don't know.
The wind is blowing. His hair is like slightly, you know, like shriveling in it. He's there like glistering in the sun. Opens his mouth. Ciao!
Is this a grown man? Like, where does he come from? Where did he grow up? Did he like just get washed away from Italy?
I don't ask these questions, Henry. I take what I get.
All right, fair enough.
He comes from the sea.
I remember my only real encounter with jellyfish were when I lived in West Australia. I was doing a swimming in sea camp or something like that during the summer holidays. And I have two memories of that. One was that a jellyfish stung my ass, and it was like, Jesus. That's kind of frightening for a moment, but after that it's just itchy. And the second one was that there were Cool Ranch Doritos, and I didn't fucking like them. That's the two things I remember.
I love that those two, you precipiced us, two memories about jellyfish. Cool Ranch Doritos, and I didn't like them. You know what? Maybe jellyfish would agree with you.
Yeah, well, they should.
Oh!
Anybody that eats Cool Ranch should be
talking about Cool Ranch Doritos. I am looking right now at barbecue-style Dorito pack, right? Bought here in the Netherlands in what we call the good old Albeheim. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, Dutch, I don't think I've seen this anywhere else in the world, Dutch on their products put the nutrient score sort of type of thing, right? The best you can get is A, and the worst you can get on that scale is, I'm looking at it, E. So it's like an alphabetical scale. Barbecue-style Doritos are labeled as nutrient scored B, second to highest.
Yeah, there you go, health food.
Fucking, who needs Big Jim if I can just eat barbecue-style Doritos, am I right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Fucking hell.
I mean, I think the nutrient score is not everything. Like, Tic Tacs are technically...
Yeah, of course, but how the hell do you get B?
I forget what it was, that Tic Tacs were technically... I don't know. It was some shit that it's really not, if you look at it. This is really bad, because I don't remember what it was, but... Tic Tacs are not healthy, basically, is the bottom line. And there was, like, a statistic that would have you think they would be, if you looked at just that. And I think it's the same thing for the nutrient score here.
Actually, I completely forgot, but you're the man who eats Tic Tacs by bowls, right?
My brother. I went bought Tic Tacs today. I have like 5 empty Tic Tac packs strewn about the room currently.
What the fuck? Nobody else is as obsessed with Tic Tac as you are.
I don't know. I was kind of not... For the first couple months here, I didn't really buy any, and now the last month, I've just bought one a day, basically.
What the...
Does that make me a hero? I think so. Think about it this way. It's not good to eat a ton of sugar, right? Would you agree with that? With me on that?
Yeah, sure.
So for every Tic Tac pack I take off the shelf, that's one less that's available to anybody else. Therefore, I am saving everybody else's lives. Thoughts?
Yo, that's such a good argument. I'm going to steal that from you. I will now use that argument for any shit that comes my way because of the food choices I choose in my life.
If you don't like
this and you think it's terrible, I am doing this for you to not experience this.
Exactly. And speaking of food choices, Rudy, that's a perfect segue to my article. Rincón de la Victoria, which is a town near Malaga, a couple minutes away, declares war on dog pee.
On what?
On dog pee. Urine.
It's just I'm trying to see the thread of connecting this to food, but go on.
Well, I also added the description of the article picture because it was pretty funny. It's just like, it's a dog looking at their owner with a face that they're not very impressed by what they're doing. And while the owner is just like pouring a water bottle over where the dog just peed. So picture that. Anyway, so the town has launched an awareness campaign, and this is mailouts, YouTube ads, and I think campaigning in the streets.
What the hell?
Encouraging citizens.
Campaign.
Yes, encouraging citizens to carry a small bottle of liquid with a mix of water and vinegar to dilute dog pee when either their dog pees or when they see someone else's dog pee.
Was the smell that bad?
The aim is to dilute the dog pee by pouring the liquid, to avoid property damage. So apparently...
Oh, property damage. So these dogs just destroying houses by peeing on them.
Yeah. So just like houses, traffic signs, flower pots, they're corroding the environment, quite frankly.
Man's
the only
best
way we can
friend,
save it.
A menace to society. That sounds like a good memoir title. Somebody write that down.
I think it just goes to show
that... Anti-dog campaign.
It's not... It's yeah, if you have dogs in places where it's just stone house, like where you just... Where you don't have a park, I guess, then yeah, it's going to be an issue. You need them to pee not on a traffic sign is the lesson of the day, I think. Or you just carry vinegar and water with you at all times.
Who doesn't?
I mean, I drink that, so when I pee, it's just like immediately non-corrosive. Thoughts?
You drink that, huh?
Yes.
You know, I know somebody from high school who actually did by accident drink vinegar.
Yeah, and what happened to them?
Not joking. He will not admit that this is the case from that event because he thinks that's just a natural thing. But
okay,
he has scars on his tongue.
Okay.
Like, I cannot describe it any better as imagine if it dried out and then like scarred from like drying out and then came back together. I don't know how to say it. Like, he has like small like splits, I guess.
Isn't that literally just a normal tongue?
No, not like, no, that's the thing, what I'm trying to like, you know what, moving on, it's not worth it. Basically, you could see that he drank vinegar at some point.
Okay. If you get that picture, then you can put it on your Instagram and we can show everybody.
I will not.
So just stay tuned for Rudy's Instagram and he'll publish that
soon. My next article is Dutch love beer, but Ron loves donkeys.
What?
Where do you think the story will lead you? Give me your educated guesses.
I guess just some tourist story about drinking too much beer and then going to handle a donkey.
Actually, it has nothing to do with beer. I just... The context is that, Jesus, outside world people, how Dutch love their beer. It's not even that good. Context is, Ron is a Dutchman from the town of, and you will help me this, Henry. Yeah. I'll spell you the name. You tell me how to pronounce it. It's a village name, okay?
Okay.
Hemeskerk.
Hemeskerk?
Okay, there you go. That village.
I don't know. You kind of lost me when you said key, because that's not a letter.
Yeah, that was my bad. I wanted to say K. That was my bad. A village in the north of the Netherlands with a population of around 40,000, whose inhabitants have traditionally been nicknamed donkeys. Ron and his wife regularly spend time on the Costa del Sol in Mijas, where they have a house and where donkeys are a symbol of the town.
Uh-huh.
And so Ron came up with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'll skip the intricacies, but the simple version of it is, he cycled 2,500 kilometers from his hometown to Mijas to raise money for a donkey shelter there. So 2,500 kilometers. He was more successful than you might think, because 72 donations, his goal was for the kilometers, 2,500 euros. So as many kilometers as the euros he wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess how much he got?
$30.
Exactly, 4,288 euros. So he basically doubled his expectations. He left his home on August 10th and has recently arrived at his destination and is now resting. Recently, I mean, at the time of this episode, around the end of the 2nd, 3rd of September.
Okay, bad way to describe that, but yeah.
So yeah, this man loves donkeys so much he cycled for them and gave them money.
Yeah,
I'd love to be a donkey.
Sure, I mean, okay. Not to undercut this guy, but I like... Alright. Put you in a zoo and we're good, I think. Shut this whole podcast down, we're good. Lock your ass up after that one. Do you want to be a donkey in a petting zoo?
in an Italian petting zoo.
Okay, of course.
Right. Dear listeners, you should have seen Henry's face at this point. My guy was about to throw in the towel.
All right, Rudy, are you ready for my last piece of news? This is actually a bit of a heartbreaking one. I know we said on a previous episode that I shouldn't bring heartbreaking ones if I've got no other, but I really couldn't find... This one was too important to not bring to the podcast, so forgive me in advance. Yeah, forgive me, but heartbreaking. I added that one to the top of the headline because it's pretty heartbreaking. Planned petrol station in Malaga will not be built after failing to receive environmental permit.
Your big oil is my Italian, so you fucking fucked up, free. It's a sad day for society.
It's a two-beat podcast here. You get the joke of Italians, you get the joke of big oil, and then you can wrap it up and listen to the next one. Anyway, petrol station construction has been rejected after it was determined that the project would endanger citizens' health. Can you believe these guys complaining? Like, let's get real, people.
How dare they?
So the associated quote-unquote health risks are regarding increased emissions and pollution of soil and water.
Where's the proof?
That's what I'm saying. See, okay, here's what I've always thought about, right? And this is something that people seem to just skip over. You can say, okay, there's going to be more emissions and pollution stuff, but you don't know until you build it. So first build it and then find out.
Wrong with you. You are like, today you are just explaining every single thing as before you know it, it must happen.
That's what I'm, yeah. You can't say it's bad until you've seen it's bad. Happy to hear that. Proud of you for that, really.
I'm here wriggling, like writhing, dying on the floor. Good on you. Go get him.
Final statement from the citizens campaigning against the petrol station. Common sense has prevailed, but I'd like to beg to differ. Really, that's all I have to say.
I am honestly saddened of this blow to not only Big Oil, for this one random petrol station somewhere in the world, because Big Oil will never recover from this. But especially to your ego, Henry. Are you okay?
No, I'm not, quite frankly. Ever since reading this, I've been really down in the dumps.
Come here. We can talk this out. Listeners, add. I'll calm Henry down a bit.
Everybody knows that when you're in Spain, you've got to enjoy some of the artisanal local jamón. However, not everybody has the travel budget to enjoy one of these one-of-a-kind hams. Well, worry no longer, as we're introducing Ham for Ham. It's simple. You show your juicy hams, and you get a slice of juicy ham in return. Visit a participating butcher and let them take a picture of your behind as you drop trout. You get a small amount of ham as a reward, but worry not. As passerbys enjoy your hams, they can pitch in for you, and before you know it, you're going home with more than just your hams. Visit a participating butcher today to make your hams work for you.
That is quite the deal, I will say. Can I just also say, throughout the whole ad, I was just vibing to the music.
You know, they say you can't get everything by dropping trout, but at least you can get a slice of ham.
They do say that. I've heard them say that, yes. You know, the big them, the capital
that's
T,
them.
They.
That's,
the,
yeah.
The they, them, non-binary, they say that, yeah.
Yeah, I speak to them every day. I pray to them at night. They say, at least you can get ham for exposing your ass.
They do say that
parents
on the streets being spoken by, I mean, by who else? Them.
By them, yep.
Yep.
All right,
yep.
Rudy.
I think it's time
on
for...
to the weather.
our weather news.
Yay!
And as for the weather, ladies and gentle donkeys, let this be the official podcast which proves it. Jellyfish are responsible for global cooling and could be the solution to our problems. Yes, they're standing up against big oil. You might ask why.
No.
Over the course of the rest of October, the average daily temperature will steadily decline from 26 Celsius to 22 Celsius. And the same correlation can be observed about nighttime temperatures as well. Strange how it happens after some huge jellyfish sightings, is it not? And when it comes to the weather, whilst the sun is still shining, the clouds seem to be aligning, or in other words, it is cloudy, even windy, and dare I say, sometimes stormy. And if such phenomena could be influenced by some overgrown alien-looking species, could it not be the jellyfish? I ask you, are you blind? They are the saviors, the world breakers, the ones to turn on the unwashed masses. Get your hands off me. What is the charge? A succulent weather forecast. Get your hands off my penis.
That's a good one. I think that's that classic causation, or what is it? Causation is not correlation, or the other way around.
But in this case, the causation might well be correlation, my dear co-host. We've just been blind to the healing properties of these alien creatures coming from the depths of hell.
I believe in you, Mr. Weatherman.
Do you believe in the Weatherman?
All right.
My guy's face was like, do I laugh at this or is there a continuation?
All right, on we go. Let's get ready to keep an eye out, and you're going to love this one. Ready? Ready? Are you ready? I didn't hear you confirm that. Can you?
Sí.
Bueno. So, everybody, close your eyes and picture this. White, as far as the eye can see. Pure white. You're staring at a blank page. It seems you have forgotten to write down what it's like to be in Malaga. You put your brain to work to try to conjure something up, yet despite your struggle, you are unable to produce results. Suddenly, a bull with a ham strapped to its back comes walking in. How absurd, you think. Surely there must be something else? Yet before you're able to think of something else, the bull pulls out a sword and slices you in half. You bleed out on the floor. Deservedly so, for the only thing that you could think of were Spanish stereotypes. Shame on you. So, if you've also got writer's block, then maybe Malaga is your next destination.
Very good, very good.
All right, Rudy.
I think it's time for us to recommend you some local businesses.
Yes, sir.
You want Would to take like this to go off first? I won't. Go first.
I also won't. Go first.
Moving on to local radio then. I recommend the radio to fill one's lonely heart. I recommend you only romantic radio. Filled with Ooh. Love, romance, and best of all, Spanish ballads.
All right, not bad. I had a bit of a hard time picking a radio station because, to be honest, I thought the radios here were kind of shit. So, the one that I didn't hate the most, no way, the one that I hated the least is 87.8 Ritmo FM. For some party music, and for the absolutely most overstimulating radio ads I've ever heard.
Was it like, gunshot somewhere in the background, listen to this radio!
Yeah, that's right, but like, amp that up like to like a billion sound effects, just screaming the whole time. I wish I could understand what they were selling. It was probably just some fucking bar of soap or some shit, you know? Anyway,
well, business, Henry, go.
I thought we were just going to charge through, to be honest. And
no,
I like that
go
for us
do it.
It. Fine. My recommendation is to go ham. So go eat at a tapas place. For example, the harborside restaurant of Meso Iberico, where you can enjoy a variety of dishes. But most importantly, you can have some ham for your hams.
Lovely.
Pretty?
I wanted to go last because mine's way cooler than yours, than ever you could find, actually.
Okay.
Well, my local is business suggestion, I recommend you all to go and check out the Crocodile Park. Small, due to its specific nature, yet it offers guided tours, food, and the coolest of experiences. Holding a baby croc. It's like a park, but for crocodiles. It's so cool.
That does
I would
not
love
seem
to see that, honestly. But I'll take the best next thing. You are going and seeing it for me. I forwarded you the ticket, Henry.
Yay! There's
straight into
I
the jaws
of
a crocodile.
Yeah, I really could not care. I don't want to hold a crocodile, is what I'm trying to say. And
what?
I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's hip. I don't think it's ethical,
it's a croc.
Quite frankly.
It's a baby croc.
The only baby croc I'm willing to hold is a leather purse. All right.
Oh, wow. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Globally Local FM. Check out our colleague Colossal Pango on Twitch, and remember, this was brought to you by Tom of Huzzah with a question mark. If you want to find Henry, you can find him where?
Probably digested in a crocodile at this point.
Very good. Actual fun fact, crocodile stomach acid can even dissect metal. You can find me on Instagram, 000RUDY000, so 300Rudy30 for some personal feedback. Write to us using any platform you listen us to with your Q&As and stuff like that. We probably won't see it, but we appreciate it. And where are we going next, Henry?
You can catch us next time around in Honiara in the Solomon Islands.
We're hitting up Oceania again.
Holy shit, it's happening.
Hey, wait, what the hell is that? Are those gypsy kings? Volare, oh, cantare, oh.
Oh no, Rudy's being dragged off to hell. All right, see you guys.